Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to ENN on a Monday evening. I'm Peter Rosenberg. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You know, as Meyer Lansky said, I don't know what he said.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
All right, fine, Don. How's that with you?
No, it's doing real well.
Don, I heard you found the lever list.
Well, Kofi is a friend of the show.
Whoa. It's ENN time, guys. You guys sit in the passenger seat and let the driver drive. Oh, let the poppers pop and the breakers break.
Thank you.
We're going to get there, Michael. I want to start off, though, because I'm respectful, unlike you, by sending a rest in peace out to the great Don Shula. The Dolphins Hall of Fame coach passed away at age 90 in South Florida, peacefully. Head coach for 33 seasons between the Colts and the Dolphins. 347 wins, most in the NFL. Coached the only perfect season in NFL history. Back in 1972. Two-time Super Bowl champion, 1968 NFL champion, four-time coach of the year.
Only two losing seasons, 6-8 and 6-10 in 33 years.
Yeah. But I just think to say he hung around too long would be unfair because, like, 66 is not that old. As you mentioned, Bill Belichick, 68. But he won his last championship in 1973, retired at the end of the 1995 season, had what many people believe is one of the top five quarterbacks of all time, and didn't win with him. And I think that's why Don Shula's name doesn't get thrown around with the true greats. He should, because of his longevity and what he saw and how many games he won. And as Michael said, only two losing seasons in his entire career, which is incredible. But is there any credibility to the fact from, you know, 1974 to 95, no championships?
And it's interesting, Joe Namath was on to sing the praises of Don Shula and then said, I can only dream of what Dan Marino would have been if he was working out of a shotgun. Well, Shula could have done that, I guess.
I just remember living in real time, there was always those conversations that has the game passed Don Shula by? I remember down 24-0. It was a Sunday night game. I remember it was in a dome, but I forget what team it was. And it was the first year that they went for two, that they added a two-point conversion, and they scored a touchdown like in the third quarter down 24, and he went for two. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, there were some things where it just felt – I just remember that being a conversation, whether it's fair or not, even though
Why
there were
that
coaches
sense?
That were
you're
older.
Going for three, you're going for 3-8s.
Yeah. But it just didn't – there was that conversation that maybe the game passed him by a little bit. Why didn't he make the adjustment? Why wasn't Marino in the shotgun?
Here's the thing.
His ways.
It's hard. In one sense, it is – it's almost like a black mark that they weren't able to win one with Marino. In another sense, think about what that team's record has been since Don Shula was coaching.
I know. And also, in defense of Don Shula, there was we talk about how important the quarterback is. During Dan Marino's time, yeah, it was important, but I don't know if it was nearly as important as it is now. Like, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that didn't win championships. Dan Fouts didn't win a championship, didn't even go to a Super Bowl. He's in the Hall of Fame.
But the thing is, Marino, from a skill standpoint, generally is consensus seen as the best quarterback ever. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, how many
physical ability, maybe,
yeah,
but
pure quarterback,
I don't know about, like, acting out the position, yeah, but physical ability.
And whether it's fair or unfair, and we shouldn't be talking negatives on the day that somebody died. I think
but that's what you're doing. You attacked Michael today, and now you're going on Don Shula.
Is that
two legends?
How many truly great coaches, when I had the list of great coaches of all time, went the final 20 years of their career without a championship? That's why I'm telling you he should be on the list, but I think the lazy answer is always, well, he went so there was a generation of fans that never saw him win.
But he did go to the Super Bowl six times. That's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Two out of the six.
But post 73, Michael, I just have to I think it might have only been that one time with Marino, right?
Yep. I'm
trying to think. No, he had to be maybe two times.
No, he only went, only one. Marino was a quarterback when he retired, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, well, so he went with Marino.
Marino won his first year.
And obviously he went after the A.J. Dewey game, right, when they beat the Jets in 82. So that's another. So he did go to a few after his last win.
I think Rich Cimini had a quote today that, you know, Jet fans hate Shula because of the mud ball. And he was asked, you know, what do you say to Jet fans in Miami when you run into them? They go, I don't talk to Jet fans in Miami. I don't talk to Jet fans in New York. I don't talk to Jet fans anywhere in the world.
Did you also know
Jeff Perlman, who wrote the USFL book, Peter? He came very close to leaving the Dolphins for a lot of money to be the coach for Donald Trump's New Jersey Generals. Very close.
Really?
Yeah, backed out at the last minute.
Well, the one thing I was confused about when I read Cimini's quote about how much Shula hated the Jets was why he did the lunch with Don and Greg Buttle. How'd that come to be?
You'd have to ask
management.
I think
he's a big Don fan.
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you guys like in a Don club together?
No.
Anyways, hey. By the way,
they got him, but they got him.
Don, I'd like you to go on my Twitter, Rosenberg Radio.
Yes.
I posted a little close-up video of the Jordans I just got.
Yeah.
And you got to see the amount of barbarians ripping these gorgeous sneakers because they have pink in them. And I'm asking for your take because you're one of the people I know, not both of you, but particularly you, Don, who's a real man and doesn't say things like I see the color pink and
well,
think,
Don's
oh, are those for your
right
little
now.
Sister?
Yeah, but it's about Easter. Pink is a major holiday, major color to the holiday Easter, no?
Do you see them?
I see them. They're gorgeous.
Do you see the gorgeous green, the Easter green and the pink? I mean, and the furry? I mean, come on.
See, that's it's the whole thing. So are these people killing you for that? Men don't celebrate Easter because there's too much pink and green?
One says,
got the green
one says,
at the bottom, pink.
One says, minus the pink, sure. Although then Father Frank Lee weighs in and says, fire, and that's coming from a priest. Someone wrote, garbage, stop it.
Garbage.
Pink is good for a button-down. I don't know about Jordan. I mean, I'd cop them for my 5-year-old niece.
Wait a minute.
Come on.
That's sexist.
I know. It's people are bad. People are bad.
But it's Easter. That's what it looks like. It's supposed to be Easter. If you see an Easter bunny, right, there's going to be pink on that Easter bunny. So I guess those are people who look, oh,
rabbit farm for the making of those sneakers? Maybe that's.
No, I do not believe it's real fur.
Okay.
All right, guys, there's a lot more to get to in the world of sports. Tiger Woods. You know what? RG, you have a drop.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
The reason I'm excited to play this clip is because, listen, I'm trying to not be... Being in Manhattan right now and being in an apartment, it's difficult. And so I am trying to be kind to those who need to get out some. Yes, there were visuals that I found very disturbing over the weekend. A lot of people with no masks. So I'm trying to be understanding of those that just need to spend time outside because it's very hard. But at the same time, the being outside in crowded spaces and the being outside without masks, I just can't tolerate. And one of the groups that's really annoyed me are the runners who can't even lessen their running schedule. They still have to run 6 days a week. I mean, they cannot stop. 7 days a week. Have to run. Have to run. Even when it was the worst of it. Even when we were in late March and it was just brutal. Let's hear from Tiger Woods about his thoughts on running.
If you had one thing you could go back in time and tell your younger self, what would it be? Yeah, not to run so much. Running over 30 miles a week for probably my first 5-6 years on tour. Pretty much destroyed my body and my knees.
I think that John Daly had the same problem.
That was Golf TV did a Q&A on Twitter, and that was Tiger's thought. Running. Now, listen, I'm fat and lazy, so I'm the last person you should talk about running.
You're not fat anymore.
I'm still lazy, but I will say that over time, I know runners love to run, and they get obsessed and addicted to it. Over time, I don't know one person who ran long-term, over time, day in, day out, who didn't end up having a cause for it. So what I'm saying is, order, you know, if you want to run inside your living room back and forth. Be like Don when he gets his steps at the radio station. You can figure it out. Speaking of Don, I have something very special to tell you, Michael K.
What?
All right? There was a moment last night during The Last Dance that I can't believe you didn't use to eviscerate Don.
I don't know where you're going.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
A moment that showcased how wrong Don's list was from last night.
Oh, I know where you're going to go.
The moment when they spent a full 60 seconds in a scene. They had a scene that was all about the celebrities who showed up to the NBA Finals.
Oh,
and
boy.
And within that showcase of celebrities, the celebrity of celebrities that they showed was Seinfeld.
That's right.
Coming to visit all with right. Jordan. What were your thoughts, Michael?
I mean, I didn't need that to know that Don was dead wrong. No, I can't wait till tomorrow when his special drops on Netflix and Don's not going to stream it.
Yeah, and here's where I win the argument because I never lose because I come educated and I come hard.
Excuse me?
You understand exactly what I'm saying. So what was the conversation? Oh, it was Seinfeld being interviewed.
Wasn't being interviewed, he was talking to Jordan.
No, it was him with Jordan back in the locker room.
But I just don't parachute in. I watch the whole thing.
Okay.
Right? It's being interviewed by somebody. He's talking about, Michael might be leaving, and I could show him how to leave. Something to that effect, because why was he there? Why was it a thing? Because Seinfeld was just going off the air. It was the last Seinfeld in 1998. So that was the topic of conversation. And then he has an exchange with Jordan, and Jordan points to one of his teammates. I forget who it was.
Kukoc.
Kukoc is like, he watches your show all the time. It's like every game we got to say, hey, come on, let's go out. We got to shoot around. He's watching the game. He's watching the show. He's watching the show before every game. The show. The people that watched it are all thinking, hey, there's Jerry Seinfeld from Seinfeld. That's what he's known for.
However, you're right. I'm not.
That's why he was there. That's why Michael Jordan knew who he even was.
But Don, I'm going to call foul on you. The beginning of you're watching the reruns now. But the beginning and end of each show, when it was first shown, was him doing stand-up.
And then they eventually phased it out, and that's when the show took
off. They didn't phase it out.
Yes, they absolutely did.
No.
Absolutely did.
You don't have 22 minutes on when it comes to syndication, so they had to cut that out for syndication.
It out. When they first started doing it, and the first year was brutal. Lucky it stayed alive.
The first year was 4 shows, Don.
Awful. First year,
they didn't
first
have
calendar
late.
Year, even into the second year.
No,
really, not great. But anyway, the first few episodes into the first maybe few seasons, it would start with a stand up, which it always did, but then it intertwined the stand up during the course of the episodes,
and
usually kind of like
out.
A transition from subject to subject. They phased it out. Now I'm not saying he's not a great comedian. Do not get me wrong, but you don't throw in the fact that Seinfeld is with Jordan for any other reason because of the show. If not for the show, Seinfeld's not
but
there.
If not for him being the
exactly,
the ultimate
that's why
stand-up,
he's a great stand-up. But
show.
It didn't make my top five. Now, if you had the guts to do a top five, which
show.
You don't want to do,
that Ray Romano got his show because he did great stand-up on Letterman.
Right, and that show is a tremendous show. Don't have him on there either.
Seinfeld's a better technical comedian.
Well, what you do is you come up with a top five technical comedians. I'm sure that'll be really interesting for people to ingest. That'd be great. You had a chance to do top five. We were going to switch. You didn't want to do it. You didn't want to do the work.
I had some great stories.
By the way,
I had some great stories that now the people are being deprived of.
It was your clever idea. Why do I have to get dragged down? If you ever want to take over Tales from the Crib and do your list, you're more than welcome.
Hold on.
But don't
you guys
put a list in my lap.
You guys are devolving too much. First of all, I'm a fool, and the Bugs Bunnies are not Easter-related Bugs Bunnies. The pink refers to Bugs' ears. Didn't realize that.
Well, then even more so then.
And also, how do you guys feel about doing a mid-ENN Daily Don?
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie!
Don?
I need to ask Michael something. Because Kofi was nice enough, he's a fan of the show, worked for the Devils, sent this to me. He found it online, okay? It's in a chat room where somebody lists all of them. But I don't know the legitimacy of this list. I perused it. But I have to ask Michael to confirm something, otherwise the list is completely bogus.
Okay.
It has you doing it twice.
I did it do it twice.
It has you doing it one to forever. Against the Orioles on September 21st, 2008.
That was the last one.
But it also had you doing it, according to this list. Let me find it here, because it's written very small. Has you doing it from 67 to 66 on May 4th, 2008 against the Mariners.
Yes.
You did do that.
Yep.
So that works to Don's argument even better.
So right there that tells you, and I don't see any repeats on the list, and... So if there is legitimacy to this list, and it sounds like it, here's the top 10, which tells me that they
didn't... Here's one thing, though, Don. I see where you're going with this, and you're probably right. Maybe from 67 to 68 was me. I was filling in for some... I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's possible.
But wouldn't they have had a huge person lined up for 80 to forever?
Well, you tell me, all right? Because here's the top 10. You would think this is the last 10.
That's top 5.
I'll do top five even.
This is daily. Okay. This is
these
the
are the top five people I did.
These are the top five. We know Michael's number one, right? So here's the top five that did this. If this
wait, the top five stars that did the
no,
Liverpool,
this is five through
five?
One. Five
no, no,
through
no.
one.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to just pick the five that were definitively better than Michael.
Oh my God, I can do that easily.
Yeah, so I think
do the last five, Don. I'm curious.
All right, give us that.
But what I wanted to do with this list, Peter, is show you that maybe there wasn't a lot of rhyme or reason, because from 5 to 4 was William J. Mulaney and Snoopy from MetLife.
Well, not because it was a MetLife countdown.
Right. From 4 to 3 was Emilio Navarro, Negro League's oldest living professional baseball player. He's 102 years old.
Okay.
He went from 4 to 3. Bob Costas was 3 to 2. Bob Shepard was 2 to 1.
Okay.
And then Michael Kay.
That sounds like there's rhyme and reason to that.
Okay.
But how do I get last then? I don't get that.
Well, right. Because, I don't know, you were the TV announcer. You had Costas, national announcer. You had Shepard, the voice. And then you're the TV guy.
Now you tell me if these are some people that should have gotten a nod for one. Don Larson, David Wells, David Cohn. Obviously, the three that pitched perfect games.
Did they pull the lever?
No, it was pre-recorded.
No, I mean ever. So
they're on the list.
Oh, okay.
No, these are the three. They did it together.
Okay.
Jesse Barfield went from 11 to 10. Goose Gossage.
Wait, are you suggesting Barfield would be better than Michael?
No, I'm just giving an example where I don't think there's a lot of rhyme to reason. You're almost getting in your top 10 with Jesse Barfield. All right, Goose Gossage, 15 to 14. Darryl Strawberry, 16 to 17.
He went
How about
backwards.
Lou Lamoriello, 16 to 15?
Who?
Lou Lamoriello.
Wow.
John Sterling did it, 28 to 27. Peter, you don't think John Sterling's red hot? That Michael did it twice?
I don't understand.
And was number one?
Asparagus.
I just hoped you were going to do the top five people who should have done number one over Michael.
I'm sorry. Well, you didn't explain that to me.
I thought that's what, I don't know. I thought we could.
I mean, I got to go through this whole list and come up with the top five.
Well, I played the theme song. Once we do it, you got to.
Well, I don't
do
know
it.
Why you did that. All I just said was to let Peter know that I've got the list. There
Who
must have been
the
some
first
mistake.
Lever.
That was George Steinbrenner.
George Steinbrenner did it?
Yeah.
Wow. He was first and you were last. What are your
right
thoughts?
After George Steinbrenner was Steve Smith, Ahmad Bradshaw, and Aaron Ross of the world champion New York Giants. Paul O'Neill.
Don't you think George Steinbrenner should have been from 80 from 81 to forever?
The fact that George Steinbrenner is 81 to 80 and you've got the likes of Zach Parise doing it from 75 to 74. Bobby Mercer, 69 to 68.
The great E.J. Raddick, 44 to 43.
Seems somewhat random. And according to this list, Yogi Berra did 76 to 75.
Yeah, shouldn't he have been 8?
That's what I think.
Well, guys, we're talking baseball. Guess what? Jeff Passan was on ESPN Radio, and he believes there will be baseball in 2020.
Well, the plans right now are there's a multitude of them. And I will say this. I think that one of them, whatever it is going to be chosen, and we are going to see baseball in some form or variety this year. Now, does that mean that baseball is going to stick around and play a full season? It could happen. Does that mean that baseball could come back and then we could have another wave that shuts things down? That's certainly a possibility as well. The problem with projecting all of these things out is that we don't know what's going to happen next week.
Michael, you cannot have a plan, in my opinion, where you shut down if someone tests positive. How do you do that?
The Korean League, which is going to be shown tonight at 1 in the morning on ESPN, they signed a contract. Anybody tests positive, the league shuts down for 3 weeks.
But how do you do that?
I don't know. I mean,
what if the World Series is about to start?
They must be so certain that no one's going to test positive, and I don't know how they could be that certain.
I mean, what if it's like the start of the playoffs or the World Series?
Well, Michael, you could, if you test everyone before it starts, and then you come up with very rigid rules, you could think it's very unlikely anything will happen.
You're going to have to test every day, right? But how would that be, Peter? You're making people wait all these months. They'd be so hyped up. And this goes for the NBA and the NHL, too. You finally get it back, and you're sitting down, you're going to get ready to watch, and then you wake up the next morning's out, we're hitting pause again 3 more weeks, somebody tested positive.
What's eventually going to happen here at some point? I'm making this up. Please no one listen to me who's smart because I'm an idiot. But what I believe is eventually going to happen here is it's just going to be an accepted part of society that some people get it. And God willing, what social distancing and all these things do is reduces the amount of spreading to the point that the hospitals can manage it and you can get taken care of.
Well,
but frankly, I don't know that we'll ever get to a place where older people or people who are unhealthy or have conditions are not in grave danger. So you will have those people who basically end up being somewhat secluded, and the rest of society ends up rolling the dice. I actually think that's going to be where we eventually land. I don't know. Because, guys, what will be the line of them going, okay, the coast is clear?
I think that Boris said it well on Friday. He thinks that the players, even if they got it, nobody would be, seriously ill or die. But it's the support staff, I guess, which they will limit. I don't know how Joe West is going to be able to be an umpire at his age and his size, and there's some coaches that are older. I don't know how they're going to do that because they could get ill.
They would have to adhere to the social distancing. They'd probably have to wear a mask and gloves when they're umpiring in a game. But
that's not 100%.
No, definitely not.
Well, that's what I was trying to get to ask Scott. All right. Trey Mancini may be done with his chemo. Is he going to just jump back onto the field and play? I can't imagine.
And there are players, he said there are no pre-existing conditions. There are some players that are diabetic.
Hey.
There are some players that have hypertension. Come on. Hey, there are some players that have underlying conditions.
I'd have to look it up. I didn't look it up, but George Laroque, former NHL player.
I saw this. I was, wow, we think alike.
And yeah. It's probably been 10 years since he played. So it's not perfect example, but he has asthma, and it hit him hard, and he went to the hospital. He survived, Peter. He's okay, and he was telling a story over the weekend, but he was hospitalized, and it was pretty scary because he had asthma.
And The guy had been training for Ironman. He's run six Ironmen in the last, like, 2 years, and he still got zapped and got into the hospital.
Because he had asthma. So does that mean all play? I'm sure there's a lot of baseball players that have asthma.
Of course.
So are they going to not play? Or is Trey Mancini just not going to play this year when he comes back?
Well, he's not going to be able to play this year anyway.
Or somebody like that. So I'm sure there's a lot of players that maybe have had
cancer.
There's
a player in the NBA. I forget who it is. I think he's on the Cavaliers. He has an autoimmune problem. I don't know if it's lupus or something, but he said he cannot be infected.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is beyond sports, and this I'm not saying this is okay, but we may get to a time where a lot of people who have conditions like that aren't able to live the same lives as everyone, which is a horrifying thought.
Because this is the thing that just infuriates me with the truthers out there. Well, the people that are healthy don't get it that bad, so let's just move on and let's open things up. This is a very universally unhealthy country, all right? And I don't think that people that had cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure or happen to be overweight have to be thrown in, like, to seclusion because, sorry, you're not a part of society because bad job out of you, you didn't take care of yourself, so...
Yep, you don't get to live.
There are people that take care of themselves and they still have asthma cancer.
We're ignoring a very important subject here. We see what's happening disproportionately in this country to people of color, and most often that means, and from communities that are not well-to-do. People in those communities very often are in financial circumstances that don't allow them to live a healthy lifestyle. So when you're talking about diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol, and you're looking at these neighborhoods that are the worst off, you can look at the zip code map right here in New York, and you look at the zip codes that are worst off, look at what the options are to eat in those places. And so those people have to be punished again. Not only are they already in a bad spot, but now it's like, well, hey, there's a disease that really puts you in a bad place because of your health situation.
And also,
good luck with all that.
And not to mention how we just completely disregard the people that are elderly.
There's
a lot of people in our society that are over 65 years old that function and they work and they're pretty important, including a lot of our politicians that shouldn't be thrown to the wolves either.
And some would argue they're not the best functioning. But real quick, you were on the verge of pulling a full Lloyd Christmas. You know, it's true what they say. While slow and dangerous behind the wheel, old people can still serve a purpose. But you were right there. All right, real quick, before we wrap up ENN, Carson Wentz gave his thoughts on the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts.
It didn't really concern me. You know, I think my reaction was kind of understood. I had a feeling there's a chance we'd want to draft somebody, just given the way our roster is laid out and trying to get younger and stuff. So there's no concern for me. You know, I think the team showed their investment in me last year. And, you know, I have nothing but confidence and faith in them. And, you know, they have nothing but confidence and faith in me.
I was about to say he's more realistic than Andrew, but he still couldn't mention that he's had injury problems.
Peter,
but
why is there a sunlight on your face right now?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is just the world we live in. How's that? I lean forward. And lastly, guys, this is big. Rob Gronkowski was on Don's favorite podcast. It's called Gronked Up. And he said he still plans on defending his 24/7 WWE championship while he's on the Bucks.
You know what I'm excited about is if the WWE can somehow kind of intertwine it with this year, it would be amazing if, like, Brady took the belt from you or something like that, or like one of some of the players teamed up, or
Bruce Arians is going to become the 24/7 champ.
Imagine, like, coming out of the meeting room, I'm looking to my left in the hallway, coming out of the tight end meeting room, looking to the right to make sure no one else is out of the meetings yet, and then all of a sudden I think I'm in the clear. I start walking down the hallway because the other players are in the meetings. And all of a sudden, Coach Arians just comes out of nowhere with a flying elbow, takes me out and pins me and becomes the 24/7 champ.
So there you go. We always have that to look forward to. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening.
I got a text from Alan Hahn. He showed me a video of his son playing roller hockey is the reason why he didn't answer my phone call.
Good excuse.
Did he play roller hockey in Alan's home, or have they loosened restrictions on the island?
They look like he was at some sort of a basketball, like a paved basketball court.
Probably an empty basketball court.
And, Peter, I haven't heard back from my brother yet. I need clarification from you. SiriusXM Busted Open tweeted out, breaking news, David LaGreca banned from AEW Wrestling for life. I wonder what that means.
I'm very curious to hear what happened.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.